Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans, and we are in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, and I'm going to read verses 11 and 12 together. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, last time we pointed out how the Apostle Paul went from being a hater to a lover, and how he longed for these Roman believers. And we saw that the grace of God turned him from this great persecutor of believers to one who would give his life for them. And now notice also not only his love, but his humility. In verse 12, the Apostle says that the faith of the Roman believers would bring comfort to him. Now, he was never at a point in his life, even though Paul received direct revelation from the Lord Jesus, he was never above being comforted and encouraged by his fellow brethren. He didn't think that he was the only one and that he alone can bring benefit to others without him receiving benefit from others. And this was great humility on Paul's part. Now think about it. The Romans would have definitely benefited more from Paul than Paul would have benefited from the Romans. But Paul says, no, I want mutual comfort. Your faith encourages me, Paul says. And this was the humility of this great man, the Apostle Paul. And may we imitate him in this. And notice also faith comforts. Comfort comes from seeing your brethren cling to the Word of God and love the Word of God. What brings comfort to me is when I'm around believers who love the Scriptures, love God, love Christ, and love fellow believers, and all mankind for that matter. But faith brings comfort. When we have faith in what God has said, it brings comfort to others. We spoke about that a few programs back, about how faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And when we believe in the Scriptures, it works in us, and it inspires us to action. Faith will always act. If I told you there was money out in front of your house right now, and you believed what I said, you would go out and pick up that money. And the same is true of the Scriptures. When we believe what God says, it makes us act in certain ways and do certain things, and that brings comfort and joy to others. Now we go on in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, the Apostle Paul starts off by saying, "Now I would not have you ignorant." Now, there are five times the Apostle Paul uses this phrase. Here in Romans chapter 1:13, he does not want the brethren to be ignorant, and I believe it's with regards to his apostleship. Paul wanted to come there, but he was hindered. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, we read another reference, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in." What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying is that those who dismiss Israel and say God is all through with them, God is saying through Paul here that they're ignorant and they're conceited. But Paul wants us to know what's going on today in his ministry is that blindness in part has happened to Israel. And Israel is not done in God's program. He will restore them. And then the third time we read this phrase is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. And you turn there in your Scriptures, we read this. "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant." We have this phrase again. And excuse me as I turn there. 1 Corinthians 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." And if you read the next part of this verse, it has to do with Israel's example in the wilderness journeys, especially in the book of Numbers. Paul does not want us to be ignorant about the Old Testament and the lessons that we learn there. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And boy, this is a topic that people are very ignorant of today. Then we come for the last reference in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says this, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So the five times Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant," in his letters, I guarantee most people are ignorant today, and there are grounds of contention in these verses. Romans 1, verse 13, he does not want us to be ignorant of his apostleship. Romans 11, 25, he does not want us to be ignorant of the fact that God is not through with Israel. and that the present dealings of God with the nations are temporary, and one day God will restore that nation again. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant of the warnings and the lessons we learn from Old Testament Israel. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul does not want us to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul does not want us to be ignorant concerning those who died in Christ, those who are asleep. Not those who are alive, but those who are asleep in Jesus, as the passage reads. So these are great passages to study. We can't get into all the details now, but down the line we will. This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.